Let's go ahead and stand tonight and read here together Psalm chapter 4 and verse number 1. Psalm chapter 4, beginning there in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing?" Selah. Which Selah simply means really just to pause and think about it. Verse 3 says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." Verse 4 says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help us tonight as we come to study your word, and may your Spirit speak to us and give us understanding and convict us and challenge us, Father. Lord, we so much desire that you would hear and answer our prayers and help us to see some things in scriptures tonight that give us reason to pause, give us reason to think about some things and change some things in our life and honestly examine things in our life daily and frequently. Lord, we don't want to let anything hinder our relationship with you. We don't want things to hinder our prayer life. And help us tonight by these thoughts from your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The title of the message comes there from verse number 4, "Stand in awe and sin not." Stand in awe and sin not. Do you desire for God to answer your prayers? I think the honest answer of everybody would be yeah. Or yes. Sure, yeah. I want God to answer my prayers. I want God to hear my prayers. I think that would be our desire, just like we see. I believe it was the desire of the psalmist. If we look there at Psalm chapter 4 and verse number 1, what did he say? "Hear me when I call. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." I think we would all desire the same thing. God, hear me when I call. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Here we see the desire of the psalmist. He desired for God to answer his prayers. He desired that God would hear his prayers. He says, "God, when I'm calling, I want you to be listening. When I'm calling, I want you to hear my prayers, and I need you to hear and answer my prayers." Can I ask you this? How badly do you want God to hear and answer your prayers? How badly do you want it? How much do you truly want it? Enough that you would be willing to turn from sin in your life and to live a righteous life? Do you desire enough that God would hear and answer your prayers that you would say, "If there's anything in my life that the Word of God or the Spirit of God revealed to me as that is sinful or that is wrong or that's something that's not pleasing to Him," do you desire enough that God would hear and answer your prayers that you would say, "I'd be willing to turn from that. I'd be willing to forsake that. I would repent from that and I would change that in my life"? How badly do we want God to hear and answer our prayers? Enough that we're willing to turn from sin in our life and to live a righteous life. Because that is one of the great prerequisites for God to hear and answer our prayers, that we live a righteous life. God hears the prayers of the righteous. I have no doubt about that. In Psalm 66, don't turn there, I'll just quote it to you quickly. Psalm 66, 18, the Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Turn over to Isaiah chapter number 1. We'll come back to Psalms chapter 4, but let's look there at Isaiah chapter 1. Can you find that? The book of Isaiah should be not far along after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. You'll find Isaiah chapter 1. And let's look there at verse 15. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 15. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "And when ye spread forth your hands In other words, they're spreading forth their hands in prayer. He says, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood, God says to them. That their hands were full of blood. He says in verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. So God says this to the nation of Israel. He says to them, when you raise your hands in prayer and you're seeking me and you're desiring for me to hear and answer your prayers, he says, I will hide mine eyes from you. I'm not going to be looking and hearing and answering your prayers unless you turn from some things. He says, your hands are bloody. He says, I know your heart is unclean. I know there's been sin there. And he says, verse 16, wash you, make you clean. If you want me to hear your prayers, if you want me to answer your prayers, he says, you better get washed. You better get clean. You better wash some things in your heart and wash some things in your life. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. That's what it means when we confess and we forsake sin. When we forsake sin, we put it away. We turn from it. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Don't do it any longer. Don't keep on. Don't go on and here we go and we do the sin and go, oh God, I'm sorry. And then we go out and do it again the next hour. And we say, oh God, I'm sorry for this. And then we go out and do it again the next day and the next day and the next day. And oh God, I'm sorry for this. And we go out and do it the next day. God, that doesn't please God. And yes, we have a God who's willing to forgive. But listen, you want God to hear and answer some prayers in your life. Sin must be forsaken. He says, cease to do evil. He says, put away the evil of your doings. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he says, the Lord will not hear me in Psalm 66. God hears the prayers of the righteous. But as we see in these verses, there can be sin in our heart or sin in our life that can hinder and keep God from hearing and answering prayer. Look back to the book of Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. And notice verse number 3. God keeps a place close by to himself for those who will live godly and righteous. Think about that. God keeps a place close by to himself for those who will live godly and righteous. In Psalm 4 and verse 3, he said, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. You see, he's the God of the righteous. He said, in Psalms said in verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. When we're living righteous, we can know that God is nearby and there's a place close by to him where he's keeping us and he will hear and he will answer our prayers. He says in verse 3, know it, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Turn with me over to Psalm 34. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 15. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 15. You notice what it says. The eyes of the Lord are upon the who? Righteous. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is what? Nigh. The Lord is nigh. The Lord is close by. The Lord is near, in other words, unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Again, the Lord is nigh. The Lord is near unto the righteous. The Lord is close by unto the righteous. He's set a place by himself for those that are godly, for those that are righteous. Again, you want to be on close crown with God, you make sure you're living a righteous, holy, pure, and clean life so that God will hear and answer your prayers. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And we'll look there at verse 29. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29. We saw there in Psalm 34 that the Lord is nigh. The Lord is nearby. The Lord is close by to the righteous. But in Proverbs 15:29, it says the opposite for those that are not living righteously. It says in Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is what? He's far. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous. Again, would you rather have God nearby or would you rather have God far away? Would you rather know that you are in a place that is nearby to God and close to God, where he hath set a place by himself for those that are godly? Or would you rather be further away? Hey, I'd rather be near to him. I'd rather be close to him. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous. Over in Isaiah, look with me at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, and notice there verse 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 and 2. The Bible says there, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So it's not that God's just incapable of hearing. You know, he's getting hard of hearing, he can't hear our prayers. No, he can. But it says in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Listen, I don't want anything separating you. I need to make sure we're in that place that is close by to him, that is near to him. Again, let's look back there at Psalm chapter number 4. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. I want to be the one that is nigh to God, that is near to God. I don't want sin and iniquity separating. I don't want it to be that it's the wicked and the evil that makes us to be far from him. We need God hearing and answering our prayers. And if God's going to hear and answer our prayers, we need to make sure there is not things in our life that are hindering that. There's no doubt that God wants to answer our prayers. There's no doubt that God wants to answer the prayers of the righteous. But why is it then that people have so many unanswered prayers? Why is it that Christian people would say, God doesn't answer a lot of my prayers? Well, the Bible gives some different things. This isn't the only thing, but I think this is one of the biggies. I think that the reason many times why God is not hearing and answering the prayers of people that call themselves a Christian is because of things in our life that are separating between us and our God. Sin in our heart or sin in our life that we maybe won't get rid of. We won't confess it or we won't forsake it. And so it hinders God from hearing our prayers. Could it maybe be that we're not living godly, righteous, holy lives all the time in the way that God wants us to, and so that hinders God from hearing and answering our prayers? I think it's a real problem that Christian people are not seeing as many prayers answered as they should. And wouldn't you agree? That's a problem. If God promises to answer prayer, I think it's a problem that God is seemingly not hearing and not answering people's prayers. Christian people can't give very many testimonies about God hearing or God answering their prayers. The Bible has the answer. The Bible has the solution. Again, notice there in Psalm chapter 4 and verse 4. I think this is part of the solution here in this chapter. Psalm 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Stand in awe and sin not." Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Stand in awe and sin not. Let me give you six simple thoughts to help us get our prayers answered. And they're very simple. Just basically a statement. Six thoughts to help us get our prayers answered. Number one, we need to stand in awe at the holiness of God. Stand in awe at the holiness of God. In Isaiah chapter number 6, where Isaiah has the vision and he sees the throne and holy, holy, holy. Remember, he sees the what? He sees the holiness of God. And then when he sees the holiness of God, he sees himself for what he really is. And he sees his sinfulness. Listen, we need to first stand in awe of the holiness of God. If we're going to recognize just how unclean we are, we need to make sure we're keeping a close look at how holy and magnificent our God is. He is a holy God. He doesn't, well, I'm holy most of the time, but on some certain days of the week, he lives in sin. God is not holy, you know, certain weeks of the year, but other weeks he just goes out and just blows it and lives ungodly. No, he cannot do that. He is God. He is holy. We serve a holy God, a righteous God, a perfect God. And we see God in his holiness. We'll see how unclean we really are. I know this may kind of sound cheesy and corny, but you know, when we consider our teeth and we look at our teeth and we say, "What color are your teeth?" Well, hopefully we would answer our teeth are white, you know, or mostly white. And they do appear white at a distance. But you know what? If you were to take, Father, I'm still a guy who uses shaving cream and a razor blade and so on when I shave. And you know what? My teeth from a distance may appear white, but you take me some morning and put shaving cream all over my face and me smile there in the mirror. You know what? When I've got that white shaving cream all over the face, my teeth are not going to appear quite so white anymore compared to that white shaving cream. And you know what? When we start comparing our life to a holy, perfect, clean, and righteous God, we won't think of ourselves as so holy anymore. We won't think of ourselves as so righteous and so clean. We'll get a better vision of ourselves for what we really are compared to a holy, perfect God. We are sinful. We are sinful, and we need to confess our sin and forsake our sin regularly and turn from it. We need to stand in awe at the holiness of God. See God in all his holiness. Stand in awe. Stand in awe at the holiness of God. Number two, sin not. Sin not. You know what? Standing in awe of the holiness of God will help you to sin not. When we don't think on God like we should and don't think as much about God's holiness as we should. When we don't read about God's holiness as much as we should. Listen, James talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty, talking about looking into the Word of God and letting it be a mirror in our lives. When we look into the mirror of the Word of God and we begin to see that reflection in our life, when we see the holiness of God and see that reflection of ourselves for what we are as sinful people and many times unrighteous people. And many times even you could be a Christian who would say, "I sincerely love God, but maybe we have backslidden in some areas of our life, or maybe we've never been willing to forsake some sin in certain areas of our life, and we're not living the holy, righteous, godly life that God would want us to live." God says, you won't listen to me. Why should I hear and answer your prayers? You are living an ungodly life, an unrighteous life. We're to stand in awe and sin not. Stand in awe and sin not. You say, "Oh, Pastor, I want God to hear and answer my prayers." Well, do you want it bad enough that you'll be willing to sin not? Do you want it bad enough you'd be willing to say, "Okay, whatever the Bible says, if the Bible says that's right and that's wrong, then I will do what the Bible says is right, and I will forsake and give up that which the Bible says is wrong." Do you love God enough, or do you want God to answer your prayers enough even that you would be willing to do that? Stand in awe of the holiness of God, number one. And number two, sin not. Sin not. Number three, do a real honest evaluation of your own heart. Do a real honest evaluation of your own heart. In verse 4 again, he said this, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Would you commune with your own heart for a while? Would you be real honest in searching your heart and letting God search your heart? In Psalm 44:21, it tells us that God knoweth the secrets of the heart. In Psalm 139:23, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Do we as Christians take time where in some stillness, where we're still, and we commune with God, and we even commune with our heart, as the Bible uses in that expression, and we search our heart, and we ask God to search our heart, and we ask God to show us the things in our life and in our heart that are sinful and wicked and wrong, and we then confess those things and forsake those things, turn from those things, repent of those things? We must do that. We need to be real honest with our heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You know what? Our heart can be easily deceived to think I'm better than what I really am. Or I'm a better Christian than what I think I am. Because you know what we're so often prone to do in our life? Compare ourselves to other people. And the Bible says that's not wise in the book of Corinthians. Comparing themselves among themselves, commending themselves among themselves. The Bible says that's not wise. You could look at someone else and say, I'm a pretty good Christian. I know what I was and what I am, and I'm a pretty good Christian now, and I'm better than I used to be, or I'm better than a lot of others. But no, when we stand in awe at the holiness of God, and we compare ourselves to what God is, and we compare ourselves to the Word of God and what God wants us to be, listen, that's when you'll begin to be truly honest with your heart and be truly honest about the things in your life. And we ought to do that. In Psalm 51, David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." Then verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We need to do a real honest evaluation regularly of our own heart. Do a real honest evaluation of your own heart. Six simple thoughts to help us get our prayers answered. Number one, stand in awe at the holiness of God. Number two, sin not. Number three, do a real honest evaluation of your own heart. And number four, offer to God a righteous and holy life. Offer to God. Aren't we supposed to, in Romans 12, the Bible says, Romans 12, 1 and 2, to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable? Holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. We need to offer to God a righteous and a holy life, because that is the prayers of the righteous person is what God will answer. Offer to Him a righteous life. Don't offer to God a life that is sort of half in it and half out and half sinful and half godly. God's thinking, what are you doing? I didn't give half of myself to you. I didn't give half of my son to you. I gave everything for you. And how can we live a life that's sort of half for God and half for the world? We can't. In Matthew, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will love the one and hate the other, or else he will cleave to the one, hate the one. You know what I mean. You know what it is, some of you. Sorry, I'm messing that up. But we need to offer to God a truly righteous and holy life. Don't offer to Him something that, well, it's sort of a godly life, but it's sort of a worldly life. It's sort of a righteous life, but it's sort of a wicked life. Let's offer to God truly a righteous and a holy life. Six simple thoughts to help us get our prayers answered. Number one, let's stand in what? Stand in awe of at the holiness of God. Number two, sin not. Number three, do a real honest evaluation of your own what? Of your own heart. Number four, offer to God a righteous and a holy life. Then number five, put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. We saw that in verse 5. It said there, in Psalm chapter 4, verse 3 said, "But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call on him." Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Again, I meant to read that. We need to offer to God a righteous life, a godly life, a holy life. And then at the end of verse 5, it says, and put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Why is that so important? Well, because God responds to faith, truly believing. God responds to that. God wants to see faith exercised in our life. In Matthew 9:29, it says, according to your faith, be it unto you. In Matthew 21:22, it says, in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. How many times do Christians even maybe pray and ask God for something, but they don't really believe that God will give the answer? I sometimes will talk honestly with that about my own children. We'll pray about something and say, do you believe God can do it? Well, you know, and we're trying to teach them. We try to talk through it. And we've got to truly trust God. We have got to truly believe that God is able. Put your trust in the Lord. Again, God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to show that we have our confidence in Him and our faith in Him, and we believe in Him, that He is able to do it. Put your trust in the Lord. And then number 6, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Turn with me over to Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37 and verse 4. Psalm 37 and verse 4. Here the Bible says this. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of the Lord. What does it mean to delight ourselves in the Lord? I think it means a few things, but certainly we need to spend time in His presence. Those of you that have known, you know, Paul and Sarah now the last couple years, at least 2 years, right? It's been a while. You've seen them as a young couple who were just preparing to get married and then getting married. And in that time, hopefully they still do, but you know what? They delighted being in each other's presence. And I think they still enjoy each other's presence, right? But you know what? They delighted in it. And there was great joy in being this couple that was in love and was getting married. And then as a young couple, and there was no baby, no distractions, nothing else to be. And there was just them and them as God had brought them together. And they delighted in each other's company. You know, they enjoyed being together. My wife and I enjoyed being together as a couple that was engaged and getting ready to be married and so on. I think we delighted in each other's presence. We enjoyed each other's presence. We enjoyed each other's company. You know what? God wants us to enjoy being in His presence. He wants us to spend time in His presence, spend time seeking the face of God. But again, when it comes to spending time in prayer, not just that, okay, we're coming to God and God, here's my list. God, I want this. And God, I want you to do this. That's not delighting in God's presence. That's not delighting yourself in the Lord. We think, well, I'll just come to God with, well, I've got my prayer list. We're supposed to pray. And I've said, somebody said you should have a prayer list. And so I've got my list of things I'm going to pray for and I'm going to ask God for. That's not delighting yourself in the Lord. That's not delighting yourself in His presence. That's coming to Him with some prayer requests. But before you ever get to those prayer requests, listen, do you know that God knows what we have need of before we even ask? The Bible says that. More than He needs you to come, and I'm for a prayer list and ask Him for things, but before you ever come with a prayer list or I'm going to ask God for certain things, He just wants you to delight in His presence. He wants to see that you enjoy spending time with Him. He wants it to be that He knows that your desire is more than that God would just give you certain things and that God would answer certain prayers. He wants to see clearly that you just love being with Him. That your greatest desire is not just God give me this or God answer these prayers, but God, I just want to be with you. God, I want to spend time with you. God, I enjoy talking to you. God, I enjoy this spending time in communion and fellowship with you. Have you learned to enjoy, truly enjoy being in the presence of God? Have you truly learned to enjoy spending time where you spend time in the Word of God and you spend time in prayer and you're enjoying just simply being in the presence of God? You're not going there. You're not going to prayer just to ask Him for things. But you're going to spend time in prayer because you just simply enjoy Him. And you want to talk to Him. And you want to spend time in God's Word because you enjoy God speaking to you and the truths and the things that you learn from the Word of God. Do you enjoy that? God wants you to delight yourself in Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. As when we've delighted ourselves in each other's presence, you know, it's natural then to want to give things. You know, when we were dating and so on, and before we got married, she was as my girlfriend there, not my wife yet. You know, she was never unkind to me. She was never unkind to me. She never gave me bad things. She never gave me things to try to poison me or things to try to hurt me. You know, if she gave me things, she gave me good things. She gave me nice things. We just delighted in each other's presence. And along with that, sometimes it just comes, you give certain things. You know, God enjoys giving us things. I sometimes have maybe done something with my children where I've tried to encourage them to just enjoy being with Daddy. And if you enjoy being with Daddy and going along somewhere with Daddy, maybe sometimes there's no promise of it. No. But sometimes just getting to be with Daddy can mean that, you know, there might be something in store. You know, a hot summer day, or we're going to go do something somewhere, or, you know, and we're going to go do this for a while. You want to go be with Daddy. You know what? There could maybe potentially be a froster later. There could potentially be an ice cream cone later. There could be something good that, you know what, they would desire in their heart, something that they would enjoy. You know what? Daddies are not the, you know, try to be mean and make life miserable for their kids. Daddies love kids. Daddies love their children. And if Daddy's ever had a way to do things or a means to do things, they would enjoy doing good things with their children or doing good things for their children. But you know what Daddies also enjoy? Daddies enjoy kids that just love being with Daddy. Daddies enjoy when kids love being with Daddy and want to be with Daddy. You know what? Your heavenly Daddy wants you to enjoy being with Him. Your heavenly Father wants you to enjoy spending time in His presence. Your father wants to go on a trip. He enjoys it when you want to go on the trip with him. When your heavenly Father wants to do something, he wants you to enjoy doing it with him. That's really what it means to delight ourselves in the Lord. He wants us to enjoy being in his presence. Enjoy spending time with him. And you know what God will do? He'll delight then in doing good things for you. But we need to first delight ourselves in him. How can we get our prayers answered? Stand in awe at the holiness of God. Sin not. Do a real honest evaluation of your own heart. And then make sure we make things right. Offer to God a righteous and holy life. Put your trust in the Lord. And number six, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself spending time in his presence.